Facts allow you to make decisions in unpredictable times. Get the facts you need from the Wall Street Journal. From free coronavirus updates to daily deep dives in our podcasts and videos, WSJ is a trusted source in uncertain times. Visit WSJ.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, July 15th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. Tensions between China and the West have been heating up. One place that's playing out is in the race to build next-generation 5G networks. Yesterday, the UK announced restrictions on the Chinese telecom giant Huawei, which builds some of the gear that these networks need to run. Banning Huawei is a reversal for the UK, and it represents a significant victory for the American campaign against the company. Our UK editor Stephen Fidler will explain why the Brits changed their mind and what it could mean for the race to 5G. That's after these headlines. There is yet another entrant in the streaming wars. NBC Universal's contender, Peacock, launches today with a host of classic shows like Frasier and Cheers. NBC is hoping Peacock will stand out as a low-cost option with tiers of content at different prices, including a free version, with commercials, of course. But our reporter Joe Flint says that even from day one, Peacock faces an uphill battle.
The big challenge really for them right now is it's a very crowded marketplace. They are coming in late to it. I think even their own top executives would acknowledge that they've been a little late to the streaming game. That doesn't necessarily mean they're doomed, of course. If the analogy they used, and it's an accurate one, is if you look at the cable news world, when Fox News debuted, they were late behind MSNBC and CNN, and the general consensus was they won't make a mark. Obviously, we've seen that's not the case. What their hope was to use the Summer Olympics as a big promotional platform. So yeah, they kind of lost the billboard that they were planning on, and they're going to launch with less of the original programming they were hoping to debut with. The Hollywood shutdown of production due to the coronavirus has basically put a lot of projects in limbo for now. That's not just them, of course. You know, Disney Plus, HBO Max, even Netflix, no one's producing right now. But if you're a new service and you only have a handful of new shows, that also may make it tougher to get people to come sample you.
And the general manager for TikTok Australia has written to lawmakers in the country trying to reassure them about the safety of users' data on the app. TikTok has become a geopolitical flashpoint lately. Regulators in the US and India have raised concerns about the Chinese-owned app's data security and what its obligations are to Beijing. TikTok, for its part, has said that it doesn't share information with the government and that it wouldn't do so if asked. TikTok isn't the only Chinese-owned company that's been raising suspicions lately. We're talking about Huawei. After the break, we've got more on new restrictions from the UK and what they might mean for the race to 5G.
Robotics, artificial intelligence, augmented reality. The future is here. Listen to Tomorrow today with the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything, the podcast that takes you to the front lines of science and tech and shows you what's coming next. Look ahead. What do you hear? The Future of Everything from the Wall Street Journal. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Around the world, the race is on to build 5G networks. Those are the next generation networks that are supposed to power the technology of the future. We've been talking a lot about one player in particular, the Chinese telecom giant Huawei. They build a lot of the gear that 5G networks run on, but American officials are suspicious of Huawei. They say Beijing could use Huawei's technology to sabotage or spy on other countries. Huawei and China deny that, but even still, the U.S. has been working to shut Huawei out, and it's been pushing other countries to do the same. Now, it looks like the U.K. could be on board. On Tuesday, the British government said it would impose restrictions on Huawei, which is a reversal from their position earlier this year. Our U.K. editor, Stephen Fidler, has been looking into this, and he joins us now to explain. Stephen, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So, Stephen, what happened on Tuesday?
Well, the UK government met Tuesday morning, the cabinet met, and it decided to follow the recommendation of a cybersecurity committee that's embedded in the government cyber intelligence network that suggested that the UK bar new purchases of Huawei equipment for its 5G network and tell telephone companies to take out Huawei equipment from the 5G network by the end of 2027. And that's based on new concerns, or mainly based on new concerns around the risk of using Huawei equipment following a decision taken in March by the US to put effectively restrictions on Huawei equipment that uses US technology and US software.
So you said they're giving these telecom companies until 2027 to take Huawei equipment out of their 5G networks. That's 7 years away. It's a ways away. So why such a long lead time?
I think it's a good question. The government has tried a balancing act, I think, by wanting to remove Huawei from the system, but by not imposing excessive demands on the existing carriers that already have got it at the heart of the system. So BT Group, for example, has Huawei 5G equipment it uses in most of the urban centres. And the idea of ripping this stuff out and replacing it in a short order would have been very much more costly. The carriers say would have led to blackouts and this kind of thing of coverage, because you have to take the Huawei gear out and put new gear in. So it seems that they've listened to the carriers. On the other hand, there is a group in the UK of increasingly vociferous members of parliament from the Conservative Party who are pressing for harder lines against China and saying they want Huawei out of the system earlier. And they're also questioning why it isn't out of the it isn't being expelled from the legacy networks too. So the government is under political pressure as well, although it does seem to have listened to the commercial requests of the telecoms carriers.
So we mentioned this is a reversal for the UK. They've said even this year that they could get around the risks of using some of this technology. So why they changed their mind? What's changed?
I think two things have changed. I mean, first of all, the US sanctions have really altered the picture, and British officials didn't think there was a way that Huawei could get around them. And even if it could, it felt that the US would essentially, you know, make adjustments to stop that from happening. So the big difference has been these new US sanctions, which meant that the UK didn't think it could rely on Huawei's supply chains effectively to produce secure and effective equipment. The second thing, though, is I think a more general deterioration in the relationship between the West and China, but also the UK and China, particularly in recent weeks over what's happened in Hong Kong and the imposition by China of a new security law for the former British colony.
You touched on the pressure from the US. Could the UK be part of a domino effect here? Could we see more countries get in line with the American stance?
Yes. I mean, we've already had restrictions imposed by countries like Australia. The US National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien is in Paris this week. He and other senior US officials are meeting with counterparts from the UK, France, Italy, and Germany over just this question, among others. And I think the pressure, the US pressure, is going to be intensified. We've already seen a decision by France to limit and restrict the amount of Huawei technology in its 5G networks. For example, it's barred from the region around Paris. Italy seems to be undergoing a change of heart over the use of Chinese technology. The big holdout for the moment is Germany. And I think the UK decision may well put extra pressure on Germany as the major European economy that's so far taking a different approach.
So what does all that mean for Huawei?
Well, I think it's a significant blow to Huawei's prospects. I mean, it's not being in the UK, it's not being kicked out of all the networks. So it's still in the legacy 2G, 3G, 4G networks, and that's not changing. So it will still have a business, you know, in the UK and these other countries. But the prospect for growth, I think, is severely limited. Huawei says it's going to review its business now in the UK. I think it's a big blow for its international prospects. And, you know, it's a casualty, I guess, you know, of China's more assertive foreign policy stance that we've seen in the last year.
So despite all this, the race to 5G is still on. With American restrictions and now UK restrictions and more countries potentially dropping Huawei in the future, how does this shift the course?
Well, it gives the existing suppliers, and there aren't many. I mean, the main ones at the moment in European networks are Ericsson of Sweden and Nokia of Finland. There are other players like Samsung from South Korea. I think there's also, this is sort of being accompanied by an effort to develop a more competitive environment and an international effort involving a number of allies that will try to, you know, encouraging more companies to enter the market. What Oliver Dowden, the British minister who announced this on Tuesday, said was that actually there's been a global market failure here and a lack of suppliers. We're likely to see governments, you know, introduce measures to try to stop that. But of course, international coordination on that kind of level on this sort of issue is going to be very, very difficult.
So we'll have to see how everything shakes out. Our UK editor, Stephen Fidler, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
And that was your tech news briefing. We've got more tech stories on WSJ.com, so check us out there. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.